Are you ready?
Yeah, I was born ready.
Our podcast for Tyler Perry's A Very Medina Family Funeral commence. Five, four.
I think I would actually rather be dead than see one of those
Let's see
movies.
how this movie compares to other in its series. On Box Office Mojo. How many Medina movies have there been?
Too many.
I
But I
must not.
will give I will give Tyler Perry all the credit for making Atlanta the third Hollywood. So
Yeah, Box Office Mojo doesn't. Oh, yeah, C-Series. Rank number 9. I guess it's okay. It's only been its first weekend. So, who can name all the Medina movies?
none of us can, or I can't. I sure as shit can't. That's
No,
but
I don't
like,
want
and I was gonna say like, but real talk, I can't even off the top of my head name all the Sentai series yet, and like I'm balls to the walls for Sentai, so.
I
can name my.
Well, this is the Legendary Frogcast, where I went on Box Office Mojo to look up Captain Marvel stats, and Tyler Perry's A Medina Family Funeral just stats just popped just face first, and now we must know everything about the series. Like who died? Did Medina die?
Medea. I
Medea?
don't think so.
Okay. Well, this is Luxury Broadcast. I'm Joseph Blanchett, Dustin Watts,
Hi guys, been a while.
and Randy Keepers.
I'm not dead.
As much as we wish you would be.
Highest grossing Madea film was Madea Goes to Jail. So
Oh.
you know.
Just so we know. But we're not here for talking about movies involving a fella dressed in a fat suit, right?
Oh, is that what's going on in those? I guess it
Yeah.
is. Yeah.
It's a fella dressed in an old pantsuit.
Well,
Dressed in a.
see, what's his name? The guy who voiced the Donkey.
Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy. He only did that like three times, right?
Two times.
Two times. Well, wasn't he like a Norbert or something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was three times.
It was three times, wasn't
It's like if fat suit equals instant comedy.
Anyway,
Hey, we
that's
had
top
your
five,
wow.
that's staying in the podcast. And we are talking about Captain Marvel, the MCU, and what we think is going to happen in the future of the MCU, so Endgame and beyond.
It's
Woohoo!
gonna be interesting.
Yep. It's been a long time since we chatted the MCU. I think the last movie we all reviewed was Age of Ultron, and I think me and Randy had like a discussion about Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, like a little bit after that, like after it was announced that those things were happening. So it's been a while. Phase 3 is almost over. And newest movie to come out this weekend was Captain Marvel, so let's start with Dustin. What do you think of the movie?
I thought it was a good solid, like a good solid movie. Not the best, but definitely not the worst. It was a fun ride, but I mean, it wasn't like the end all be all that people are trying to make it out to be.
Are people trying to make it out to be the end all be all?
I don't know. People are always trying to make it be stuff like that, but this was a good solid movie. It was a very enjoyable with a few nagging issues, but nothing that would ultimately ruin the movie for me. The only thing that really kind of put a damper on things was the absolutely toxic response people have had to this before it even came out, and then the delicious silence that came afterwards.
Yeah, I got something to say about that.
Did
I
see
mean,
like a tweet with like a before and after of one of those trolley guys. And he tried to like twist the story about how the box office success of Captain Marvel means that the MCU is in danger moving forward. But I didn't read it, obviously. I don't know what it's about. Randy, what do you think of the movie?
Oh, well, if anybody knows me, they know that I've got this huge bias for cosmic-related stories. If anything, like when Infinity War was coming out, I was all on top of that because I'm literally the biggest Thanos fan on the planet. And I'm not even kidding. I've got a whole collection I could show off easily. But the thing is that, like, this cosmic stuff with Captain Marvel, like, I was already excited for it. Carol Danvers is easily one of my favorite Marvel characters ever, because she's awesome. She's just not too good. Yeah, it's just space cop action, plasma blasts out of the hands, just, yeah. So, needless to say, even before, like, even if this movie was bad, and it's not bad, it's not a bad movie, it is exactly as fun as any average Marvel movie. And the thing is that it's head and shoulders above most movies that have come out and will come out this year. So, like, you know, acting like, oh, it's just average for a Marvel movie, and it's like, well, yeah, but Marvel's average is actually real good. It's entertaining throughout. It's fun to watch. It's easily quotable. It's just a fun movie, and it doesn't try to be anything more than it really needs to be. It's an origin story for a very important character who's coming into importance in the next movie. And it's just a lot of, yeah. So it does what it's supposed to, you know. It doesn't try to step out of that box, and it doesn't try to be stupid, you know. It's, I love it. I love that movie. I love that movie so much.
It's the same. It's the Pixar problem. Pixar's average is better than most.
Yes, absolutely.
But we've become so spoiled that it's just. We tend to nitpick things. We tend to hold them to a higher standard.
Yeah, like when like I wasn't expecting like a Marvel origin movie to be as good as like Winter Soldier or Civil War or Guardians 2. But in my mind, this stands kind of almost like the top of the average,
mm-hmm.
if not just for the fact that. I'm like you. I love like Marvel's the cosmic stuff, and this mixed like the cosmic with the you know, like the Nick Fury, Agents of the Shield stuff. You know, on Earth. And this podcast will have spoilers, guys. But I like the Kree, not the Kree, the Skrulls, how they became not the villains of the piece, and even though like the Kree have always been not that. Good of guys in the Marvel movies and like the extended stuff, like the TV shows. The movie kind of plays up that the Kree are kind of like the good guys. They're kind of like the big empire that people are trying to take advantage of, and they built up the Kree as the enemy. Mm-hmm. And well, I guess it's not that much of a surprise that it was all like propaganda, and the Kree, unlike their comic book or the Skrulls, unlike their comic book. The counterparts are victims.
Yeah. And like, for me, I'm a hardcore Marvel fan, but I can always accept when a twist is necessary for a story to work. And like, and that's why I think that the story for this, it worked out, you know, it worked out just fine. It's like, as much as I would have loved to seen the secret invasion storyline play out somehow.
Yeah.
I'm fine that it didn't, you know, I'm okay that it didn't because it, you know, it my expectations, they got flipped upside down and, that's what a good story does anyway. You know, Marvel is not a stranger to changing things in such a way that you can't expect it to be a specific way. So when I the whole like I'm not even kidding here when in the scene when Talos shows up and he's drinking a milkshake and he's like, guys, hold on, I really just need to talk to you. We're not going to be enemies here. I feel like we want the same thing. I think we can work together. Like, the whole time up until the end, I was suspicious. I was like, oh, ooh, but those scrolls, those dirty scrolls, they deal in lies. He's going to turn on them and all that. And then they didn't. And I was like, oh, well, that, you know, well, that's good.
Yeah. And if they do end up doing like a scree, I keep them mixing up these things. if the scrolls are secretly like the president and stuff, like further down the road, or it turns out that Iron Man was a scroll all along or something like that, like then it's just going to bring fun. And I hope they don't do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this movie just planted that this made them so much of. Like, play them up as victims. It's hard to see them as anything but that.
Yeah.
Moving forward, there was what was I gonna say? Oh, never mind. So yeah, this movie was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if you had any worries about going to see the theaters, don't go see it.
This is my point. It kind of reminded me. When Iron Man 3, like, changed the Mandarin,
yeah,
people were all up in arms. And, like, when I saw, like, the scroll, you know, heel turn, for lack of a better word, about them actually being the good guys or the victims,
face turn is actually
I was thinking, like, it's like, oh, I wonder if the fanboys are going to be up in arms over this. And I even turned to Dustin to see, like, what his expression was. Because it's like, oh, I wonder if he's upset with this big change. And but I haven't heard anything about it, like people being mad about that. It's like now they're mad. Well, yeah, like it works a lot better in this movie than Iron Man 3, where it just kind of came out of nowhere. It was more of a twist.
Yeah.
But like the Kree being like oppressors has been built up this entire movie and kind of in other movies too. So when that happened, it just felt
TV shows.
Yeah, so it just felt more obvious. What was going on?
I would like to mention something though. It was kind of bittersweet seeing Coulson in this movie. If you're a fan of the show, you know why it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Joey still hasn't seen the latest season, so he doesn't know
what's going down.
It's weird because I watched like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so Coulson never really went away. But seeing him on screen again. Was like, oh man, I missed him being on in the MCU, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought it would be cool if one of the other like older Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast members, the one that I forget her name, the voice of Mulan.
You're talking about
Melinda May is the character name, but I forget the actress's name.
Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Like I thought it would be cool if like she was kind of in that in the movie too, just as like a background character. Because like, mm-hmm. She's supposed to have like a history with Coulson. I did see that it wasn't the actress, but Maria Hill was one of the agents that went to take Fury, like to arrest Fury just in like name only. Like wasn't the actress, but that's kind of neat too.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of people, I feel like this Marvel movie is different from the rest of them, in that okay, so like in Captain America, Captain America stands up for what's right. He gets powers, and he saves the day. Iron Man, he goes through an ordeal. Finds himself and decides to stand up and save the day. The Hulk has power he can't control, but he's able to stand up and save the day. Thor has a fall from grace, but in the end stands up to save the day.
It must be a pattern.
Yeah, but the thing is that Captain Marvel, her struggle was a lot more personal than the whole world being at stake, or the everything being at stake. And like, there was no impending doom threat until the accuser showed up at the end. And it was that she had power all along, but she had to stop living to everyone else's standards. She's had to stop living to the standards that are expected of her. Like, the most powerful scene in the movie is at the end when she fights Yogg at the end, where he's got his gun out and he's got his gravity thing on his gauntlet out and ready, and they face each other down in the desert. And then he puts his weapons away, and he tries to like convince her to fight on his level, to not use her gifts, her powers. And he's like, "You have to prove this to me." And she just blasts him. She's just like,
he punts him across the desert like it was nothing.
And the thing is that is such an accurate like image of, and they did a really good job showing her throughout her life and her overcoming trials and getting knocked down and getting back up, because she's not living to other people's expectations. She's living for her expectations. And she's living, so when she says to him, "I don't have anything to prove to you," like, that is the character arc right there, that she's constantly surrounded by people telling her she can't, she can't, she can't, and that she shouldn't, she shouldn't, she shouldn't. And her doing something for herself and standing up by herself with these incredible powers, and, you know, being told constantly, "No, you have to control it." No, she's just fine. You don't have to keep telling her.
Yeah, the only reason he was doing that is to control her more. To keep
exactly.
Her... And, exactly. And like, to be honest, like, if they were in a one-on-one fight without any powers, like, there's a good chance that he would still win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I mean, it reminded me, like, in the end of, like, Predator.
Yeah.
When, like, you know, "We have to fight like men," you know, so they take off their shirts and, like, the Predator gets rid of his weapons and his night vision, so he can't see anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because, like, there's this thing about, like the honorable battle and all that, and that's what I keep wanting to call him Yogg-Saron from World of Warcraft, but it's Yon-Rogg, right?
Yeah, Yon-Rogg.
Yon-Rogg. He was like a... Yeah, like,
why are you not calling him Yogg-Cast?
He was fighting
Yogg-Cast.
Yeah, it's like when he fought the Yogg-Cast, you know. We had to finish this like men, and it's like, "I am no man." Just blast him, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's perfect. Like, that's the overall story. Because, like, okay... This is kind of personal for me.
One thing before you do that, do you mind?
Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah, similarly, one of the complaints I heard is that Carol just uses powers, like she knows how to fly and do all this stuff right away.
Uh-huh.
But that kind of ties into she was being held back, well, not her entire life, but like, you know, whenever she first got these powers by, like, the system, and then once she's unshackled, you know, that's her breaking free moment, you know? That's just her becoming who she is. And, like, I didn't mind that there wasn't, like, a training montage or that she had to learn all that stuff, because it was within her the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, that was her potential the entire time. Like, it doesn't need to be Superman.
Yeah, it doesn't,
he needs to learn how to jump really far first, and then he can fly, and then he learns he has heat vision, and then he learns he has this, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Then he watches his... Then he watches his dad die in a tornado.
Yeah. Did see that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, this whole thing of this whole theme of not letting yourself be constrained to other people's expectations of you is the major theme of the movie. And, you know, what's crazy is that, like, that even ties into before the movie was released, and we'll get to that here in a minute. the story, like, of her being in the military and just the incredible amount of sexism she had to face. Now, I'm not saying this from, you know, any personal experience for me. It's just that my grandma She was in the military in the 80s. And so she had to deal with that exact stuff. She told us all the time about things like that happening to her, that it basic was hell because there was a bunch of people who expected her to walk away because she was a woman. You know, she was like, that's a thing that happens, you know why they call it a cockpit, right? Like that is very common. That is a very common thing. So like, to see that story be told, you know, it actually hit me in a pretty personal place. Like, yeah, you know what? That my grandma Luann, she dealt with that right there, and you know, now she's a total hero to me. And so it's like, yeah, man, it's just
the only missions, at least in terms of the movie, that they could do was just like
test flights, flight, yeah,
test flight this experimental thing that no one thought would work.
Or desk work and clerical work and doing drill anyway. Yeah, that's what she did. She was basically a secretary who was trained how to beat the crap out of you. And so, you know, but that's still, you know, it's still a servicewoman. But anyway, I just felt like it was really good in that the story that it needed to tell. And I don't feel like Marvel movies have really gotten that story to tell. Like, they got close with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but it's not quite the same, you know. It's not, because Guardians is more like discovering who you are and then rejecting who you are.
Right.
And so, you know, embracing the person you were told not to be, that is a very good story beat, and I don't understand what people are like, well, it's basically like Iron Man. No, it's not like Iron Man. It's
Well, another complaint I kept hearing was, you know, some people had some issue with the character being kind of flat.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I personally don't really agree with that, even though she does kind of have that like a delivery. I don't see her as flat, but the people are saying she doesn't have a character arc. That she doesn't overcome, like other heroes do. You know, she doesn't have a complete 180 in her character development. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, it's like, well, I mean, the movie just isn't about that, and it's different because we don't really see that often.
Yeah,
she's like a better version of herself at the end of it because she overcame the people oppressing her.
Yeah, additionally,
Not that she was a bad person and she learned how to be better.
Yeah. And another thing is that it's a Marvel movie that didn't end with her fighting someone who is basically her, but evil. Like you know how like with Ant-Man, he was fighting Yellowjacket, how with Iron Man, it was against Iron Monger, Whiplash, and it was in Captain America, it was against Red Skull, and in The Hulk, it was against Abomination, and the list goes on. But for this one, you know, her enemy didn't have the same powers that she did. It wasn't we have the same powers, this is an ideological fight. It was a totally different kind of fight, and I thoroughly appreciated that.
A few Marvel Easter eggs, but one big one. It turns out that Project Pegasus, the name of the faster than light ship they were trying to build,
yes,
was mentioned in Iron Man 2. Mm-hmm. There's a point where Tony is like telling Jarvis to dig up old files that his dad worked on, like old projects.
Uh-huh.
And Pegasus was one of them.
That's cool.
Also, the one in Ant-Man and the Wasp that Goliath was a part of, like that was mentioned too.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense because Howard Stark had the Tesseract. So he would probably be involved with that. It probably obviously wasn't planned way back then, but it's nice that they kind of dug that up.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Tesseract being used as being used in this movie?
It makes sense because they're the idea that using a faster than light engine required something like the Tesseract, which turns out to be the Space Stone. So, it makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with the directors and the writers. And they said, like, well, we could come up with this other MacGuffin that did it, but we already have a few to choose from, so why, like, make something up when we can just pull from, you know, what we have?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
I'm not quite sure how the test... What's that?
Let's not add... They didn't want to add another ingredient to the already a complicated stew.
There's another Infinity Stone that even Thanos doesn't know about.
You joke about that.
But was there? Is there one?
Kind of, sort of, yes. It's kind of weird.
Well, I don't want any weirdness in my Marvel movies.
I don't think it's going to come up in the Marvel movies. Yeah.
The idea of a fast and light ship is a little weird, though, when you consider that they already have a way to travel across galaxies.
With the jump points, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess those are like fixed spaces in space, so you know you can't just use them wherever. Although, didn't the Accuser ships basically appear right next to Earth?
Yeah. Earth is right next to a jump point.
How do you feel about the Guardians of the Galaxy villains kind of reappearing?
Oh, it's good to see them.
It was Ronan and Korath, I think.
Korath the Pursuer, yeah. Yeah, Korath the Pursuer, and yeah. It was good to see them tied into the Kree stuff, and that, like, you know, it makes sense. And it's there was a half second when, you know, when Ronan is on the bridge of his ship, and he looks over at his second-in-command, and his second-in-command just kind of gives him this raised eyebrow look. Like, I swear the camera was going to pan out, and then we're going to start beating on some tubes because they look like they were in the Blue Man Group. Like, they did the same facial expression those guys made, so I was like, oh, this is going to be some crazy Blue Man Group nonsense.
Yeah, and now we come to one of my complaints about the movie. I think it maybe didn't take itself seriously enough. I think it may have. There's a fine balance when you do comedy, when you have comedy in a movie like this.
Yeah.
And I think they may have tipped their hand just a little.
Kind of, and I see that too. Like, I see what you're talking about, because
Nick Fury was pretty over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he didn't really bother me. Really, it was like a younger version of the character. He's not like disillusioned with the system, and yet, you know.
And he is absolutely in love with that cat. That's not a cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun to see Fury be, have moments of levity like that. And I appreciate also that they were accurate to his to how he was in the comics, that he was a colonel when he left the military, and that he when he got out, you know, he was a super spy, and now he's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, I really like that they did that. And another thing is, like, I'm seeing a lot of people kind of, I don't want to say they're misquoting it, because it's like, I get it, but the intention for when the Avengers was created and stuff like that, you know, it was like, oh, it's meant to be in response for people like Thor, you know, because that's what they were saying, is like, oh yeah, Thor is the reason why they decided to make the Avengers, because Thor is a powerful person. It's like, not.
Well, that was the excuse of using the Tesseract for weapons.
Yeah.
Avengers. Exactly. I mean, Fury mentioned the Avengers in the very first Iron Man. That was way before Thor.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it just took this long for superheroes to show up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What else? Well, going back to Ronan and stuff, he has that line, it's like, we're coming back to this planet, and he says, what, to destroy it? It's like, no, to capture that woman or whatever.
No, for the weapon, guy's like, the core? And he's like, no, the woman.
You're right. And that makes me wonder if, because obviously Ronan and Korath die in Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's like 25 years later. But like, I wonder if the Captain Marvel sequels are actually going to, you know, take place still in this time frame, and you know, Ronan will be like a main character in that, about trying to capture her, you know, like while she tries to destroy like the Kree central intelligence and all that. Because it seems like in Guardians of the Galaxy that the Kree are kind of like not the people that they were, because like Ronan's all like disillusioned with what the Kree has become.
Well, that it could be that during that period of time they may have chilled out. Or,
that's what I'm saying. Like, what if,
or maybe something happened with Captain Marvel, like with Carol Danvers, that changed the opinion of the Kree people.
Yeah, like, that's what I kind of mean. Like, what if she kind of dismantles their, like, the central intelligence and their societal views, and like that doesn't align with what Ronan is, because they're kind of like, you know, they try to have a war with a Xandar, but the Nova Corps like push them back, so now they're just like, you know, they were had like a peace agreement and like in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that doesn't sound like the Kree, you know, from this movie.
Yeah. And I was looking this up. I was looking up to see when Guardians of the Galaxy 1 takes place. And Guardians of the Galaxy 1 takes place in 2014. And Captain Marvel takes place in 1995. So they're 19 years from each other. So there's a lot that can happen in that 19-year time frame for, you know, for Ronan and all the characters involved in it. So.
Yeah, because it'll actually be kind of nice to know why Ronan is the way he is, because like he's like one of those villains that get mentioned about like that aren't very good, but like I can see the potential if we just knew more about the Kree and stuff. So if he becomes a villain in like a Captain Marvel sequel, they may like retroactively make him a better villain in the other ones.
Or at least, like, what happens basically fanaticizes him, because, like, he, in Guardians of the Galaxy, he is explicitly portrayed to be an extremist and a terrorist, basically.
Yeah, but I think something happens to the Kree Empire.
Yeah, there was a call for peace. And Ronan's like, no.
Yeah, so that's what like Wonder Woman's doing. Like, even though she appears in like Justice League, all of her her sequels are taking place, you know, in the past, at least for the next one. So I think that's going to happen with Captain Marvel too.
I could see that.
Okay, one last thing. Do you think it was funny or a letdown about how Nick Fury lost his eye?
It was perfect.
Yeah, perfect. I'm going to have to say it would fit. And the funny thing is that, like, for the most part, whenever Nick Fury is asked about it anyway, or there's implications given to it, like, he's always really vague about it anyway. And so, like, having the real thing just be so silly and, you know, un-Nick Fury-like is the most perfectly Nick Fury thing to do with it.
I kind of think this would be their only opportunity press it in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, if Black Widow is a kind of an origin story, then that might be able to take place in the past.
Yeah.
But like, you know, some people I read were upset that it was such a stupid thing that he got scratched by a cat.
It wasn't just a cat.
Yeah, I know. It was like alien cat.
Did you see the reaction of the Skrull guy when the scratch happened? He's like,
oh. He's like, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's just a scratch. He's like, no.
And throughout the movie, like, they keep, like, having stuff happen to his eye, you know?
It's like in Harvey Birdman with Phil Ken Sebin, where they were talking about, like, his origin story, and they like, put him in all these precarious positions where that could be where he loses his eye, and then suddenly they, like, glean over how he lost his eye and like flash forward, and now his eye is gone, but his most distinguishing characteristic is this scar above his lip, and that's why he has a mustache. Like, the best. Oh. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I did nothing but enjoy Captain Marvel. It is on the, like, it's not the best Marvel movie ever made, but it's definitely up there. If it's in the average range for a Marvel movie to be expected, you know, of a Marvel movie, that bar is still really high for me, at least. And the fact that it kicks so much ass and is just such a fun movie to watch. I've already seen it twice, and I'm fixing to see it again because I really enjoy it.
Yeah, because a lot of these quote unquote average Marvel movies like Doctor Strange or Ant-Man, once you dig a little deeper into the meaning and really pay attention to the characters and their journey, like they end up being a lot more personal than you first realize, you know?
Yeah.
And like I think that's why I like Captain Marvel a little more. Like I said, I think I picked up on a lot of those first before I had to, you know, listen to podcasts or commentaries about them. Yep, good job. You did it again, Marvel.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
And are we going to talk about the pre-reaction anymore? Or
I don't think there's a lot to say about it. But
what reaction?
The big thing that I saw going around is, because my Twitter is full of respectable gentlemen who are very opinionated, but a lot of the times their opinions are wrong. But the thing is that there's a lot of people who believed that this was just some shill attempt to win over the women's in Marvel and to be this terrible movie, and that it's not going to be good, and it's going to be, you know, this is just garbage. That's just a pander to the air quotes SJWs and the air quotes NPCs and air quotes the feminists at large. And like,
no joke. I was playing a game with someone, and I mentioned I was going to see Captain Marvel. And they said, I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to feed the feminist agenda.
Yeah.
And my mind just stopped for a second because, wow, someone actually, that's the first time I've heard someone use that sentence in
It's like that scene in Infinity War when Tony is given the plan and then Peter Quill just steps in and goes, that's a dumb plan. We're going to do this, this, and this. And like Tony just staring there like, why am I stuck with these idiots? my brain can't process what they're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And like honestly, just the way that people were just blowing this thing out of proportion and just acting like this was the worst thing ever. And my favorite thing is when people are like, you know, Brie Larson has the most impeccable resting bitch face, and I'm like, dude, have you ever met a military woman in your life? Like,
her
acting like a hard ass all the time when she's on the job, which is, you know, most of the time she's in the movie. That's and even then, like, the previews did a good job of showing her off as a badass first, and in the movie did a good job as showing her as a person, because her interactions with Nick are genuine and they're funny, and she smiles quite a bit in the show. You know, it just, these people who pretended to have these expectations and pretended to care about these things and acted like, acted like people were trying to pretend that Captain Marvel was going to be the ultimate feminist extravaganza, and it's like, It's inspiring to people who can relate to that story, just like every Marvel movie and every piece of Marvel media that has ever come out. Like, to act like there isn't some political context to a Marvel piece of media is an ignorant thing to assert. because Marvel has always been like that. And the thing is that I didn't feel like I was getting any kind of message hammered into my head while I was watching the movie. I didn't feel bad about being a man in this woman-led movie, you know? These guys just, they were so, so incredibly just stupid. Just so stupid.
Yeah, but like people took a couple quotes from the trailers about like how they were like proud to be women in the military or whatever. And the fact that I don't know much about Brie Larson's like public persona, but I think she's pretty outspoken about stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just started mixing all that together. And I guess it probably would have been like regardless of, you know, what Brie Larson's is like, you know. Although I don't really remember like all that stuff around Wonder Woman. Unless I was mistaken. I mean, that was, what, 3-4 years ago? So that's ancient compared to the way the internet is now, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't keep up with much of that stuff. Like, I had no idea if this movie was going to make $150 million it did. Like, I was kind of expecting it to be, like, a modest success.
Yeah, yeah. It's here nowadays, it's just breaking records.
Yeah, but now it's like, you know, this is, like, with the exception of Infinity War, like, this is, like, the most movies make these days, opening weekend.
Yep, that's right.
And before, that was only a Avengers 1 thing, you know, movies make this much money. But now, like, it's happening more often with these, women-led films or, like the black-led films, like a Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just goes to prove and, that...
Whatever Taika Waititi... That guy who directed Thor Ragnarok, whose name I cannot pronounce. Whatever yes, he we is. Have
Australian-led films.
I think he is what he is.
He's a New Zealander, and I think he's an indigenous person from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure, though.
And like even other movies like Crazy Rich Asians is like the most successful comedy of last year, or at least one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So just movies are getting more diverse.
And that's not a bad thing, you know?
Oh, no.
I know you don't mind it either. Dustin probably doesn't mind it either. But like the thing is that there are these people who are pretending like just because a movie is starring or leading with a specific, you know, character or belonging to a specific demographic, doesn't mean you can't resonate with them. And it's like, well, no, that's just ignorant to say. One of my favorite comic book heroes of all time is Luke Cage. I love Luke Cage to death, you know, and he's a powerful black superhero. And I might not be able to relate to a lot of the struggles that he has, but I enjoy his stories of overcoming adversity. I enjoy his stories of displaying strength in the face of a challenge, you know. And that's the kind of stuff I like. I love that stuff. It's like, why is it that people can adore Jet Li and Bruce Lee back when martial arts movies were so crazy and it wasn't a super controversial thing back then? But nowadays, people have to pretend like everything has to be a controversy. That they're just trying to pander to the no. They're just making a movie and making characters who are appropriate for the story they want to tell.
I mean,
I watch a bunch of Super Sentai. You don't see me identifying with Japanese people in spandex and latex and leather.
Yeah, you bet.
And like in Captain Marvel, when they do like. Bring up like sexism and stuff. It's because it exists. It happens. Yes. It's like they're not making it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not a make believe thing. Or like in Black Panther when Killmonger was going on about, you know, the history that you know black people had to suffer, you know, in the centuries of the United States' formation, you know? It's you can't pretend like history didn't happen, because that history helps add context.
Was it those who fail to learn from the past are doomed to repeat it?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what's even better is like when people are like, oh, yeah, well, Black Panther is it's just a bunch of white guilt. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know what's funny is that, you know, Killmonger was the one who was like, oh, let's get extreme on this and get crazy. And it was T'Challa who was like, hey, if we do what they did to us or, you know, your people, we are no better than them. You know, the whole message was if you let yourself be consumed by vengeance, you will be no better than your oppressors. And I always appreciated that message. And history has taught us that same message over and over and over again. So like, again, with coming back to Captain Marvel, showing the casual sexism that persons in the military women in the military have to deal with, and you know women growing up have to deal with, even that their daughters are expected to be these precious little flowers that you know you can't let them go-karting because that's a boy's activity, and you know you can't play baseball with the boys because they're too rough for you. And you know, it's expectations that people have, and I don't understand why. Like, this is shit I've seen growing up as a young man in the 90s. This is stuff I saw too. Like, this is I don't understand why people are so adverse to seeing stuff that's all around them. You know, I just don't.
No, no one ever wants to remember the bad stuff. All they want to do is. Remember.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like nostalgia for the 1950s.
Yeah.
Except even in the 1950s, it wasn't like in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So
one final thing before we move on.
Yeah.
The opening logo for this movie.
Oh, I legit teared up. I did. I'm not even kidding.
Joey will say that my hat was off my head.
I leaned over to Dustin and I go, oh, movie of the year.
Yep. Yep. I legit teared up at that part. And then when his cameo, when it came full circle, where he's reading a Mallrats script, I almost lost it. I almost lost it because, like, so perfect.
Did you see Kevin Smith's tweet about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw his tweet, and it's just like, you know, that's how the greats will be remembered, and that is so perfect. Like, I am the day that comes where a Marvel movie happens and we don't see our Stan Lee cameo is just going to be the hardest day for me.
And it's coming up fast.
Yeah.
I think there's almost always going to be like a picture on the wall somewhere. Yeah. But you know, when we don't have that cameo. I'm in that interview. They mentioned that, or maybe it was a article that they actually kind of changed that cameo a little bit. Originally when like you saw Stan Lee read the script, it just, you know, like the scene continued, but they actually did a reshoot where Brie Larson like nods in approval and smiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was done like after the fact. Like after he passed away.
Yeah, like that was really cute. Like when it was like her acknowledging it.
Yeah, it's like you're okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about the future of the MCU, which you know, we can only really speculate about what we think might happen, really. But Endgame's coming up. The fourth Avengers movie is coming up in less than two months.
Less than a month.
No, it's like the end of April. So
yeah, it's about the end of April. It comes out the Friday after the Tuesday that Mortal Kombat 11 comes out. And I remember these weird details.
Oh yeah, so, Mortal Kombat. We live in a world where there's 11 Mortal. Well, there's more than 11 if you count the spin-offs.
Yeah, there's 14 if that's what the case is. But yeah. But anyway, with Marvel's cinematic stuff or what to expect from Endgame.
Well, for me, the first thing is it's rumored to be over 3 hours long.
Ooh.
They're talking about putting an intermission in.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to bring a catheter with me.
Like, no, they're seriously talking about putting a break about halfway in.
I think they would have addressed that already since that was a rumor a few weeks ago. But yeah, this is going to be one heck of a movie.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I'm really, I'm so happy that I live in a time where something as nerdy as comic book movies is such a huge cinematic event. Like, I never in my wildest dreams, when I was a little nerd, reading my comic books and people giving me crap about it when I was in elementary school and middle school, I never believed for a moment that I would be able to be in a world where comic book readers and comic book fans are taken so seriously that this cinematic event, that we're seriously talking about a 3-hour movie involving Marvel superheroes fighting against all odds and getting an intermission.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about this movie so far is there hasn't been much released about it. Like, there's been...
They've said all we've seen is in the first 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
This is basically like happening at the very start. They said that we might get another trailer, but like, again, it's probably not going to be anything mind blowing. Yeah. We're just going to know that everyone's in a bad spot and they want to make it better. And that's about the only thing we're going to get in these trailers.
Yeah.
However, speaking of trailers, we did see one Marvel trailer during the movie.
Oh yeah, the Iron Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
Which spoiler shows that Nick Fury and Spider-Man both survive.
Yeah. Yeah, I I'm okay with that because it's just the way comic books are.
On the other hand, we're getting a movie with Nick Fury and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that wasn't a Sony production, I don't think we would have even seen a trailer for that yet. Or even know that it existed, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it'd be kind of hard to hide that they're filming another Spider-Man movie, but...
Well, it was, because that's why we got all those leaked images of Jake Gyllenhaal in his Mysterio uniform.
Also, Tom Holland can't keep a secret to save
his life. Poor Tom Holland.
I mean, but... he just can't keep his mouth shut.
Ever. They even make jokes about it now when they're like... it's always him, like, spoiling things.
Yeah.
I guess they announced Guardians 3, and that would have been, like, filming pretty soon if it wasn't, like, postponed.
Yeah, if it wasn't.
They were pretty careful about only announcing a couple of projects, and they knew those projects would be, like, leading up to Endgame, and then they're probably going to announce officially. Well, I guess they've announced officially that there's going to be a Black Panther 2, like Doctor Strange 2, but they're not filming yet, you know? Like, we're not going to have a trailer for any of those anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. And, back to Endgame, though. So we're talking about, like, what kind of plot points we're expecting, or...
Well, there is one thing that kind of set... Like, paparazzi shots might have spoiled, and I'm not sure if I want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. You want to send me a link for it later?
I don't know if there's a link, but, like, I think if you pay attention to the post-credits Ant-Man and the Wasp, mm-hmm. There's some hints about what they're going to do in Endgame.
Involving plot points revolving around... Ant-Man and the Wasp and things about that, yeah.
But that's just things like... Well, because like there's been a casting rumor, too, about a character. And again, I won't spoil it here, but I think something very specific is going to be happening in the Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't want to spoil it for people who don't know.
Okay, cool. Well, then... moving away from what could be spoiler territory. What I hope ends up happening is I'm excited to see them everybody get their fight back. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was so deflated at the end of Infinity War. Everyone was so defeated. Everyone was so sad. And, like, even in the post-credits scene for Captain Marvel, where, you know, Captain America, he's like, this is a nightmare. And Black Widow's like, I've had better nightmares. And like,
yes, we know you're a tortured soul.
Yeah, we all know. This is all pretty bad right now.
I'm looking forward to seeing Rocket interact with all the Avengers. Because, like, Rocket's on Earth.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and I'm excited to see a lot more of the interactions between characters who I think would just enjoy, or not enjoy being around each other, but, like, would get around each other. And I feel like Rocket is one of those characters who's, he's kind of a boot in the ass. Like, he's a starter, you know. He's a fire starter, like in Infinity War, he came up with a plot to get Thor to the forge to get a new weapon and rendezvous with everyone else later, or like in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, when he explains to all of them that they're all one big screwed up family, and that, you know, we're a bunch of losers, but we're a bunch of losers together. And, you know, I feel like Rocket might end up having to be kind of like the tape that does its best to try to hold everything together.
Yeah, because in Infinity War, like, this takes place a few years after Volume 2. He kind of really grew up. Like, he's taking leadership roles seriously. He, you know, he has, like, that big back and forth with Quill, you know? Like, he still considers these guys their family, and
yeah.
Unlike the first, you know, Guardians, where Groot kind of came back through kind of a MacGuffin almost, or, you mm-hmm. know, just because he's a tree. You know, Groot's gone. That was his, like, it was first his best friend, and then it was basically gone throughout all those years, and, you know, he's gone forever. And, like, I wonder how a character like that is, like, dealing with all that stuff. Yeah, Rocket's the big one. Like, I just want to see how he's dealing with all that, because he's one of the more unique characters that are left on Earth at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm excited to see basically how Captain Marvel will. I don't think she'll lead the charge, but I think she'll be part of the vanguard. You know what I mean? Like, she'll.
She has that she's too powerful problem, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wonder if her involvement is this going to be more of, like, a cameo that, like, gets the ball rolling somehow, you know?
Yeah.
But I really don't know. Maybe she's in the movie a ton.
I mean, we're dealing with power levels that are, like, he just snapped his fingers and half of life just went. So, I mean, we're dealing with high power levels here. So it might not be that much.
What I kind of got from some interviews and some context from the movie itself, that Thanos, A, doesn't have any interest in fighting anymore, and I think he can't. I don't think he can use, like, the gauntlet anymore. There's been rumors that maybe there's another villain in the movie. And we'll have to see about that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been no hints about, like, any of that stuff. But,
how about, what is it? The...
MODOK?
Oh, not MODOK. Screw MODOK. I hate MODOK. Adam Warlock, possibly. I would like him. I know that the powers that be said that he's probably not going to show up, but I'm like, ew, Adam Warlock, though.
What else is there in Infinity War? I guess Tony and Nebula are together. They're, like, stuck in space.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I bet they go on an adventure somewhere in the galaxy.
Nebula and Tony Stark.
Yep. Yeah, I guess those are only kind of the two things left over. Like, yeah, we just don't know much about the movie. It's gonna be fun to explore that.
I kind of like that. Like, you know how the trailers and things, like, they were to build up how powerful the exchange was going to be with Thanos at the end of the movie, and they even made fake scenes to lead us to believe that there would be some kind of rousing victory out of this, it would be a victory, but it would be a victory at a cost instead of the total loss we ended up getting.
Yeah, they like edited Infinity Stones out of the gauntlet.
Yep, like they added it, they added the Hulk into some shots.
Yeah.
And I just
The Hulk, they were saying like his kind of storyline they're doing, like, started in Ragnarok and ends with Endgame, like, kind of a, since he can't have his own movie, like, what was his character arc be? So I think we're gonna see Hulk and Banner finally dealing with their issues.
That ought to be interesting.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Future of the MCU, though. We know Spider-Man's coming out. They've pretty much announced sequels of all the newer heroes. Apparently Guardians 3 is still happening with James Gunn's script.
Yeah.
They still haven't announced a director, but that whole situation is
messed
up. Yeah.
Let's not. It's,
yeah, it's...
Everything that has been said about it has been... Everything that can be said about it has been said.
Well, let's real quick, since we never discussed it on a podcast, do you think James Gunn should be directing Volume 3?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Beyond 100%. No shadow of a doubt in my mind.
And the thing is that, okay, like, people change. And the thing about James Gunn is that he was working with Troma. Like, he was working with the Tromaverse guys.
Doing Troma right.
Exactly. That whole group of dudes, like, dude, if you've ever seen, it's one of the Toxic Crusader movies, but, like, and I only need to say one of them because you can... If you watch any of the Toxic Crusader movies, you know that they are a cesspool of offensive material that if you showed it to someone today who has very sensitive sensibilities, like, those movies were designed, they were scientifically designed from the ground up to be the most offensive things ever put to film.
and that's what makes them absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. It's what they are. And, like, I will openly admit to having said things that, like, back in the day, or back when I was younger, when I was dumber, when I was less aware of the harm a person could put to words, there are things that I have said that I wouldn't say today. I'm not the same guy I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same guy I was 20 years ago. You know,
but in our current day and age of everything you say is scrutinized to the point that you say something 10 years ago and it could affect your world now.
Yeah, exactly.
And exactly. It probably wouldn't even have mattered if Gunn kept his mouth shut on Twitter about Trump, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people would have continued to ignore it.
Yeah. And so, it's... He shouldn't have been dragged by that, especially since when he acknowledged it, he was like, hey, those are shameful viewpoints I may have held at some point in my career. But, like, you know, those aren't viewpoints I have anymore. Cause he made like a pedophilia joke or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was a very off color joke, and it was something I would have expected somebody who worked with Troma, you know?
You know, here's the thing. Trauma is meant to be offensive. It's meant to show you that it is the dark mirror of what you hold up, that is being held up to society to show that
To we're play devil's advocate a little bit.
Yeah.
He should never have made those jokes.
You shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of saying, like, it's to be expected. He still shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
No.
But you are right in the fact that he is really was a changed person, especially, ironically, after making these movies.
Yeah.
So,
These movies made him a better person.
Yeah. And the movies are about changing your past and becoming better people. So it's really, it's like darkly ironic what happened to him.
Yeah.
It is tone deaf and the only way Disney can be.
Yeah, it's the, I mean, some of the inside rumblings is the only reason why it happened so fast is because Kevin Feige and maybe some other people were out of town. So they couldn't stop the president of Disney from, you know, doing it, from just announcing it out of the blue.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they might have like talked him down or have him do like an apology tour, basically.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting for him to come back.
And the fact that, that they're not at this point, it's gone.
Yeah, but he's they're using his script, which is good, and I think of the actors may have even walked. Like a Dave Bautista wasn't quiet about his displeasure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
no one was.
He hasn't like officially. He hasn't officially said if he's in the sequel or not. But he did mention once if they're not using his script, then he's not interested. He'll break his contract and walk.
Wait, was Chris Pratt? Problem is, I didn't hear anything from Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt was kind of quiet. He's kind of like a weirdly person I found out.
Yeah, he is.
It's, and like he made a statement saying, I forget what it said, but the whole cast basically made a joint statement saying they're behind James Gunn, and I think them using his script because he did have a meeting with like the higher ups after the fact, and I think using his script is kind of the best of a bad situation that could have happened. So I hope whatever director they find, it's weird because like I would want a director to have his own vision, but in this case, I hope he also delivers on as close as possible of what James Gunn wanted to have on the screen. So, I'm not mad about it enough to like boycott the movie because there's a lot of talented people working on it, and I don't think that's fair. But this definitely was a stupid decision on the higher ups part. What happened there?
Yeah, it is foolish.
I mean,
anyway,
it's the same year they did the same thing to Roseanne, but we praised them. Except she deserved it.
I was gonna say Roseanne was wholesale racist, Joe.
She wasn't pretending about it though. That's what was...
No. Yeah.
Yes, that's been delayed by a little bit. I won't be surprised if we don't hear about a director
until after.
Yeah, after Infinity War, we'll be getting these sequels. Black Panther 2. I'm not sure what they do with that one. It seems like the first one covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, I'm looking forward to like Mordo being like a villain.
Yeah, me too.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Spider-Man. So, yep, a lot of cool stuff. I think they said they're not really doing Avengers movies after Avengers 4.
Makes sense.
How could they?
Yeah, that's a good point. How could they?
There's not much they can go to after this. What? I mean, they're getting the Fantastic Four stuff back, so that's Galactus, but I mean, that's...
And X-Men will be pretty soon.
Like, the Fox acquisition is already in effect, and Captain Marvel, the Captain Marvel movie is explicit proof of that, because Skrulls were part of the Fox deal. Like, Skrulls were part of the Fox stuff, because they're technically originally Fantastic Four villains.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think I heard that like scrolls were okay to use, but like Super Scroll wasn't, because that was like a Fantastic Four character or something.
Of course.
I don't know. It's all weird stuff.
Well, as I said, that there, well, the acquisition technically isn't through, but it is all but guaranteed to go through next, probably by the end of the month. But it, this being, you know, mid-March 2019.
Mid-March. The fear.
The eyes of March. Alrighty. Marvel's still going strong.
Yeah.
It is. It is. I'm happy where it's at, and I'm happy where it's going.
I'm just glad it wasn't another The Dark World. I don't think we could have. I don't think I could have sat through another one of that.
Yeah, I didn't mind The Dark World that much, but that's because I'm a filthy shill.
The more I think about The Dark World, the less I like it.
Well, it's because Thor Ragnarok was so good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched that one in a while. Bring back Darcy to the MCU.
Hear, hear.
What if she survived the snap?
Yeah, right? That's right. Perfect.
So this has been another episode of the Legendary Frogcast.
Oh, crap. I just remembered something we probably need to mention.
What's that?
The various MCU shows that are going to be on Disney's new streaming service.
Oh, yeah, they're like actually like Loki and... War Machine and Winter Soldier are all getting shows, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Wonder if they're going to be like more in continuity than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s and Inhuman and stuff.
Well, the Netflix shows. Well, the Netflix shows were kind of always meant to be their own little thing with only a toe dip and MCU. But I don't think we've seen the last of them. It's just we're not going to see anything of the Netflix shows until mid-2020. Thanks to the various deals that Netflix and Marvel had in place.
Well, I hope we get more of those, because some of them were good. If just we can get a reboot on The Punisher, I'd be fine.
And maybe Iron Fist, the first season.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I can agree to that one.
Well, guys, I love talking about superheroes, but I need to go to the theater to go see Medina Buys the Farm.
Ah, yes, Medina Buys the Farm, a classic indeed.
So I have to cut this podcast short. Dustin, Randy, thank you for chatting with me.
Oh, of course. Anytime, Joey.
And we'll probably do like an Endgame podcast, kind of put a bow on all this. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.